NetBox Labs helps companies build and manage complex networks. The company's NetBox Cloud product offers an enterprise-grade SaaS version of open-source NetBox, the world's most popular network source of truth. Check out their educational network management webinars or join a NetBox meetup at netboxlabs.com/events. That's netboxlabs.com/events.
Hello and welcome to the Network Automation Nerds podcast, where we explore the latest in network automation from a practitioner's perspective. I'm your host, Eric Cho, a network engineer who loves everything about network automation.
Network Automation Nerds podcast. Today on the show, we welcome back Roman, the creator, the mastermind behind Container Lab. Last time where we wrapped up was, you know, we talked a little bit about his background, which was amazing because he's self-taught and he was very humble about saying he may not have been as good as a traditional developer, but I would definitely say the impact he has gained from both his work in open source as well as corporate world has surpassed many of them. So let's dive right in and welcome back, Roman.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Eric.
So I know last time we kind of left off at the beginning of Container Lab, right? You were talking about you're breaking a few rules, raised a few eyebrows, and took some risk in starting this project along with two other colleagues in, you know, having this tool for connecting multiple interfaces for containers. Can you tell us a little bit about, for people who have not used it, I've used it, I'm a fan, I include it in my book, but what are some of the main features for Container Lab?
Yeah, absolutely. Just tell me when to stop.
All right, I'll set the timer for about 2 hours.
Yeah, to be honest, Container Lab is quite easy. So Container Lab is just a CLI tool, which allows you to build virtual networking topologies on any Linux machine with Docker installed. But it does it with a twist. So it does it in a way that I describe nowadays as lab as code. Mm-hmm. So you define your labs basically as source code. And then from this, there comes a lot of features and benefits that you can reap from. So in a nutshell, it's just a CLI tool that gets you virtual networking lab topologies easy and running.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree to that because, I mean, I know 23 years ago, wow, time flies, but 20 years ago, the first time when I look at the source code, right, for even the Linux kernel, because I didn't know what I was doing, but I was trying to compile it and trying to run it, because back then you actually have to do that. And I was so surprised that so many of these tools just comes down to like a text file. I mean, obviously not the core of itself, but the features or like how you want to compile it or just a text file. And there's so many benefits from a readable file like that, human readable file, that you could be relatively inexperienced, but still reap the benefits from it. And I would roger that as being one of the major benefits of Container Lab is network engineers, you're familiar with how you want the network to be, but you're not familiar with, say, compilation language or whatnot.
Yeah, well, you made a perfect segue to start diving into the specific features of Container Lab. And I would really start with an example. So I myself mainly work with network automation. So I work with something that makes network automated and programmable. So yeah. For me, the labs that I work with, and definitely like everybody needs a lab nowadays, be it a network automation engineer or somebody who works with core routing technologies, you want to have your networking topology next to you. You don't really, or you can't have a hardware lab. Like it's not practical. It's costly. You need to have someone who will repatch your topologies, right? And that's the beauty of the virtual networking labs. It's always there. You can reconfigure the way you want. You can spin it up. You can destroy it, and so on and so forth. But what was missing with the original network emulation projects is the simplicity of bringing up labs live. So mm-hmm. When I start to work on any network automation technology, or even when I want to refresh myself on something like ISIS, I want to stand up a lab with a flip of a switch or making sound with my fingers. I want to make it quickly, and I don't want to bother about some complicated software-emulated solutions that specifically work with labs. To be honest, I want it to be more like Docker Compose or Docker Run. I want to type Docker Run, and I want to have my virtual networking lab waiting for me to connect to the nodes. And these principles, we took them dearly into the Container Lab core features. We mm-hmm. wanted to let users a simplified interface to create topologies, virtual network topologies, so that you do not bother about the installation, the way you connect to the nodes. It should feel almost natural as if your lab running on the same terminal console that you are connected to. And first, we started with the kind of squashing the first problem, the ease of installation. Like, I'm really tired of having tools which are complicated to install. And I think people now with short attention span, they don't even read through a README that's longer than 3 commands. So we said, okay, like, if we want Container Lab to be successful and have more people using it, the installation needs to be simple. And that's why we create this installation script that just takes one copy-pastable command into your terminal and Container Lab gets installed. No matter what operating system you are using, unless it's, you know, some complicated Linux installation, like Debian or RHEL-based derivatives will work just as nicely. That's problem number one, easy installation. And then, as you mentioned, the lab as code approach, we decided that now it's kind of time to let network engineers embrace the as code approach and move it to the networking domain. And yeah, we can talk more about the lab as code and what benefit it gets, but essentially, it allows you to define your virtual topology as a simple YAML file. And out of this file, you deploy your topology, meaning your nodes and your links, how they connected, how the nodes are connected together. And then through this topology file, we call it CLAP file, you have your topology neatly captured as code, and then you can check it out to Git. You can version control it. You can share it with anybody through GitHub or GitLab. And yeah, that opens up a lot of potentially very interesting features that you can get through GitHub workflows with pull requests, revisions, reviews from your contributors and colleagues. So yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I remember, you know, back to what you were talking about, when I was studying for some of the Cisco certs, especially the IEs, I mean, I would go onto eBay, I would like buy these boxes, and whenever I need to change topology, I need to actually physically rewire it, right? And I'll have to like break the cable or, you know, doing some kind of manipulation if I want to emulate like a broken cable or whatnot. But then Dynamip came about, right? Like, and then you have, you know, Dynamip as a file where you have like the Dynagens, and then GNS3 came out with, you know, just like this GUI interface. So everything you talked about, you know, lab as code, it really resonates, except you're making it even easier because it's in a YAML file, it's a CLAP file, where even if for somebody who's not familiar with the tool itself, i.e. Container Lab, they could still kind of understand like how does it being constructed. And then you could use, say, Git to have people review it and have people change it and have multiple repository on different configuration of your topology.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think you kind of nicely spot the striking difference with the tools that we wanted it to be simple. So we do not want to have a source code that you need to write to define your topology, because that would be counterintuitive and counterproductive. We still wanted to give network engineers familiar interface, which is a YAML file, yeah, with a simplified DSL language, if you want. Just defining your nodes and links is easy. It doesn't really require you to have a CS degree to understand how to write a Container Lab file. And most of the people that I show Container Lab file for the first time, they say, oh, yeah, I see. So it's like 3 nodes and then you connect them. Yeah. And it will take them a couple of seconds to figure out how the ports are connected. And then it clicks. So for them, it now, all right, yeah, it feels natural and I can roll with it. But then most of the users, they don't even care about Container Lab files, because what I didn't talk about Container Lab just yet is that for many users, Container Lab files are something they do not really open even. So they just run the topologies and they don't care what's inside. And these users are typically on the receiving side of networks. Think of your software engineering department. They develop software features for, we talked about Sonic the last time. So let's say they deploy some Sonic features and they want to understand how to deploy or to create another software stack on Sonic. And then they bring up a topology with Sonic and they do not really care what the networking is. All they need to know is the management connection to the NAS and then how they interact with it. But they don't care how you define it. All they need to have is a quickly reproducible lab that they can spin up. And that's really what software engineers like about Container Lab. In Nokia, we have the whole department that works that way. We, as network engineers, ship them Container Lab topology files. They spin it up and then they develop features against SO Linux or SRS, etc. So yeah, some people don't really need to look inside ContainerLab file. They just benefit from the easy deployable model of labs without really requiring a bare metal server or a dedicated VM that runs a GUI like Eve or GNS3, for example.
That was probably one of the biggest advantage, and you sort of get that for free for container, right? Like you're quickly and easily deployable, lightweight as far as, you know, get that image going, as long as it's containerized. So previously, I remember if you want to run like an 8-node GNS lab, you actually have to have X amount of RAM, you actually have to have, you know, X amount of storage, and right. Your laptop, your host machine is about to take off, right? Like you hear that spinning, cooling starts to going as soon as it goes, and then your CPU spikes and you're basically hung. Your laptop is, you're just unresponsive for about 5 minutes, and then everything dies down, and then, you know, forget about BGP convergence, right? Like once you bounce that BGP, then that CPU spikes again during the convergence time and then goes back down. But for container lab, because everything is containers, so it spins up really fast, it destroys really fast, especially if you cache something, and then, you know, the CPU, I mean, you could do more boxes for less hardware.
Yeah, if you work directly with pure containerized NASAs, then you can definitely go very high, meaning like in packing capacity on a single server. But then, of course, there is no magic if you still play with VM-based images. You know, VMXs, XRVs, they are still VMs, so they still consume the same amount of RAM as they used to. That is why labs that work with containerized network operating systems like SO-Linux, EOS, CRPD, they are very, very light and fast to deploy. But then, of course, it depends which NOSes you want to play with.
Yeah, so I think that's a good question where a lot of people start asking. And it's good to see people are pushing toward that direction, right? So what are some of the NASes that are pure containerized? And what are some of the NASes that are still requires, you know, kind of a VM, a little bit more heavy-handed?
Well, to be honest, it's kind of refreshing to see the change of tide in that particular direction. So
agree.
Rewind back 2 or 3 years. We probably only Arista COS and CRPD from Juniper that were containerized. Now we have, I think, 6 or 7 purely containerized systems from all the major vendors. So Nokia SO-Linux, Arista COS, Juniper CRPD, Cisco XRD, that's 5. And then the rest, the traditional ones like Juniper VMX, Nokia SRS, Cisco XRV, Cisco ASR, they are still VMs and of course, much more like your Palo Altos, FortiGates, all that stuff is still VM. But then this is changing. For example, even the traffic generators are now containerized. So you can get Ixia containerized version. That would be your traffic generation endpoint.
Oh, I didn't there know that.
Yeah, that's a cool project. They also have a trial without the license. So you can try XSC in your container lab topology. They have like the whole dedicated page on their website explaining how to run it in container lab setting, which is pretty dope. And yeah, with this push of kind of CNCF-friendly or cloud-native networking, we see more and more vendors really deploying or producing native containerized images. And I think we will see more and more of them in the future.
What's driving that growth? I mean, I know the project has grown, you know, obviously in popularity for a container lab itself, but I'm sure besides container lab, what are the drivers for network vendors to containerize the images? Is it because they wanted to live in the cloud? They want to have the, you know, like peering between VPCs, for example, right? Like exchanging network information. Like what are some of the drivers that you see for the popularity of being container native?
Yeah, well, I think definitely the requirement to run on x86 hardware is one of the main drivers. So you want to, if you go to an edge cloud location, right? There's going to be x86 as a requirement. So you have to have your peering router or whatever the edge device you position as, you have to have it in a native x86 format. And then when you start to move to the x86 system, it makes no sense to keep to the VM roots. Unless you, of course, do some crazy stuff in kernel, then you still kind of want to package it as a VM. But then nowadays, we see that more and more kind of networking solutions move to the user space with DPK and VPP and all that good stuff.
Right.
And this stuff can be containerized easily because you do not modify kernel to support that. And that unlocks the possibility to create containerized NASes where all the logic, even the data path emulation, kind of moved to the user space. And then it's just a software that you package with a container and it runs basically exactly the same as on the hardware. It's just the hardware abstraction layer that needs to tie the loose ends and the rest is done. So yeah, I think cloud is definitely one of the main drivers. And then a few big players like take Microsoft, Google, or Apple, when they now deploy projects or they explore new vendors to enter their big WAN networks, a lot of them are, at least like a couple of that I know of, they put a requirement of a containerized network operating system because they have internal solutions for validation that require it to run on Kubernetes, say, or any other orchestrator that works with containers. So they need to have a containerized network operating system to go through the validation and testing phase. And that is, again, one of the drivers for vendors to start exploring the containerization of their NOSes.
Even if they can't test the data plane, they could still test the control plane as long as it's a containerized image.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's pause for a quick word from NetBox Labs. NetBox Labs helps you build and manage complex networks. NetBox Labs can help you drive your network automation initiatives. As a network source of truth, NetBox Labs provides a foundation for device provisioning, automated testing, monitoring updates, and more. The company's NetBox Cloud product offers an enterprise-grade SaaS version of open-source NetBox, the world's most popular network source of truth. As the commercial steward of NetBox, NetBox Labs actively invests in the community to grow a thriving NetBox ecosystem. NetBox Labs helps customers accelerate network automation by delivering open, composable products and supporting the network automation community. Check out their educational network management webinars or join a NetBox meetup. Find out more at netboxlabs.com/events. That's netboxlabs.com/events.
What are some of the growth of the project, right? So even from my limited visibility on the sideline, I could see there's an exponential growth for people who are just so excited. And obviously, you just came back from AutoCon on this project. What are some of the highlights and challenges accompanied with this growth for Container Lab itself, the project?
Yeah, that's again another 1 hour of conversation. I really like that angle of community building. I would like to be more involved with the communities with Container Lab. But yeah, again, the project itself started as an internal project, right? So we only had 5 users in our first month. But then we started to scale it up internally. So Astro Linux users inside Nokia started to use it. There was a clear benefit how Container Lab can help them build topologies. And as we discussed before, there was no tool that would enable us to do labs with Astro Linux because Astro Linux was containerized and we needed a tool that would build these topologies with it. So internally, the project started to grow and people were happy. They were using it on different kind of operating systems and it was all cool and dandy. But then I thought, you know, it would be nice to break out from just the internal tool environment and see if people can use other NOSes with Container Lab. And I started to promote it through my Twitter saying like, yeah, guys, try this tool or girls, try this tool. It is nice. It can solve quite a few challenges if you use it right. But then, of course, you know, how do you convince people to try something new? Yeah. Which only has, you know, 10 installations and 50 commits. So it was interesting how it grew because we started slowly from the internal project to a few external users. But then, I don't know, it's kind of an organic growth. Something happens and suddenly we got a question from NANAC committee, do you want to go and present Container Lab?
Mm.
And we're like, yeah, of course, why not? It's sure. It's COVID times, it's all remote. So yeah, let's do that. And apparently, they were already using it for hackathons. So at NANOG, they run hackathon on the weekend before the main event.
Yeah.
And they use Container Lab to build a topology for hackathon attendees so that they can, you know, explore some interesting ideas and build some cool projects.
Right.
I was like, hey, guys, are you using Container Lab? I didn't know.
That's a sign of a success, right? Because there were people using it without asking you or you're just be like popping out in the wild everywhere.
Yeah, it happened so many times to Container Lab. So long story short, we did an NANOG 83 talk about Container Lab, like me and Kareem, the other co-inventor. And it was 1 hour something talk, like a really deep dive in Container Lab, full throttle. And since then, I think it started to show up on YouTube feeds of people, and people started to try it. And we saw a spike in download numbers, a spike in GitHub stars. And then I started Discord community because I thought, okay, now there's a lot of people using ContainLab. There is a lot of questions and issues, and GitHub is not the good venue to, you know, just easily or casually chat about ContainLab.
Right.
So I launched Discord, and yeah, people started to show up. So first it was kind of me and Kareem and a few others, but then people started to show up, and now it's 1,700 participants. It's
nice.
Quite a lovely chat. And yeah, well, since then, a lot had happened. We kind of crossed 1,000 stars on GitHub and 100,000 downloads.
Yeah.
People use it in various places. Like, to be honest, our competitors use it. Arista uses it, and we love it. A lot of resellers, partners, and VARs.
Yeah. Frenemies, right? Like, they're friends and your competitors. But
it's lovely.
It's a joined effort, for sure. That's very exciting to see, right? I mean, I saw your tweets and I thought this was a very good concept. When I started looking at it, I didn't think there was enough like NAS images to be available a couple of years ago. But I took a look last year and it starts to look very mature. It starts to look like there's a lot of traction, and then it warrants more detail to it. So it was very exciting to see. Like you said, changing people's behavior is always, always like the hardest part. You just can't. The sign of success is just like people are using it without even you knowing it.
Yeah, but it was, to be honest, it was a second job to know the tool. So yeah, like, you know, every user, and especially for the tool that's new and kind of trying to change the usual workflows.
Yeah.
People will start to ask questions. And it's kind of nice when it's one question a week, two questions a week, one question a day. But then when it's 10 questions a day, you kind of start to feel that you cannot scale that way.
Yeah.
And that's why building the community is really a key here, because you want the community to help itself. You want your users to help other users, rather than users emailing you or asking you directly, how do I do this, this, and that. That was one of the reasons we started with the Discord server. And that was also one of the reasons that I spent a lot of time on documentation. I wanted to document like virtually anything about ContainLab so that almost like 90% of the questions are answered in documentation, so that people would really feel, yeah, there is enough of information. I learned everything from the documentation side. So yeah, I spent a lot of time writing the docs and explaining concepts so people are more familiar with the tool without really asking basic questions on Twitter or Discord.
Or you would hope.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
you said, right? Like, people are impatient these days.
Oh, yeah. People don't read.
Yeah, people don't read. And not if it's like on the second page, right? Like, even if they read, they scroll down to the first page. Oh, it's not there. So maybe implement like infinite scroll. Like, you never stop, right? Like, you just scroll down to the bottom. The second page automatically loads. But for people who doesn't know, Roman is a busy, busy person. We intended on recording this session like a couple months ago. And like I told you, when we turn on the recording, it's like I get tired just listening to your travel itinerary, right? Tell us a little bit about like just the year you've had promoting or, you know, advocating for ContainLab.
So this year, I had more than 24 events where ContainLab. But then again, you know, it's not like we are selecting events and we go as Nokia saying, yeah, this is the tool, use the tool, give us some money. It's not like that. So the way we work with ContainLab is that we try to help the communities to see the benefits of ContainLab, to solve the problems that they might have. Just some recent experience. 2 weeks ago at DNOG, the German Network Operators Group, one of the best NOGs ever I've been to, like 450 participants, very live event with a full day of workshop before the main event day. The workshop day, they had two streams with four different workshop rooms, and two of them were running ContainLab. Again, I didn't know about that before I looked at the agenda.
Hey, surprise!
Yeah, and the labs the guys built there are amazing. The talk was BGP Workshop, filtering and routing security. They built a lab of 50 nodes interconnected with everyone. So the 50 attendees, that was the max capacity of the room, was full of people. Mm-hmm. Everybody got their own instance, and the instance was paired with your neighbors. Like, you see the people in front of you on the left, on the right-hand side, and you peer with them. So it was, you know, like a mini internet with people peering with one each other and implementing routing security. It was done
like a LAN party for network engineers.
yeah. So, and we went there just to, you know, give out stickers to the organizers, help them, you know, prepare for the workshop. So I worked with one of the workshop organizers to help him build this massive lab. It was like 60 nodes, 470 links. So yeah, it was really fun experience. And then everyone we go to, we try to either go with the talk and explain Catenlab to the audience, so we kind of spread the word and get people invited to this containerization party. And you know, the fun story is that I've been to so many events with Catenlab, so I kind of declined the events next year. But every time I go to the event, it's like 30% in the room heard about Catenlab and 70 haven't. And I was like, what happened?
Yeah, like you live under a rock.
But it's not to shame or blame. It's just like people have their day jobs and they don't follow me on Twitter. They don't maybe open up LinkedIn. And that's why going to these events is super important. Every time you get another Catenlab user or, you know, fan even, going to NOGs or conferences is absolutely a key play in promoting the tool.
I asked, you know, first of all, is to appreciate you for, you know, promoting your tool and being a non-vendor specific and, you know, not trying to sell stuff, right? So certainly a big fan of that, but also is it needs more contributions and it needs more people to participate in, right? Like either just to spread the word or try it out and post your examples. Read the doc, right? Now you heard like Roman is very concentrated and spends a lot of time writing those documentation. So if your question is answered within the doc, you should probably just read that first. But yeah, you know, we need more contributors and people to get involved. You don't have to be a coder. You certainly don't have to be a CCIE level or senior level engineers. You could contribute.
Yeah, that's absolutely key. Yeah, and you got it right. We are proud to have 80 contributors by this day. And most of them are non-software engineers. So they are network engineers, and they still are immensely important to us because we as Catenlab maintainers, we can only know about maybe a couple of different NASs. But I do not know anything about Palo Alto, for example. Or I have no idea how VMX configures some specific stuff. And that's where users of these NASs can help us immensely when they come and say, you know, the way you configure interface on this particular network operating system is not super optimal because of, like, I read this article from their knowledge base and it says this, this, and that. This is a very important contribution to the project. You can even just, like, say this in our Discord and somebody will pick it up and make a PR improving this stuff. But yeah, just sharing your experience with the NAS, with the tool, maybe contributing a few documentation fixes or improvements, it all contributes to the success of the tool and making the tool more usable and polished and shiny.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people listening to this are, you know, piqued your interest and maybe not for the 30% that are really using it, but the 70% who have heard about it or haven't heard about it or have heard about it but haven't tried it. So how can those 70% people get started with Catenlab?
Yeah, well, definitely open up .dev and read through the installation. It's super easy to install. Pick a network operating system of your choice and try to use it in Catenlab setting. And then from there, you will just open up another page of the documentation portal and you will explore how it all works, from very basic topologies to sophisticated, advanced, templated topologies if you want, or maybe scaled examples. So yeah, just get started and then the river will take you.
Cool. So my last question is, where do you see yourself in Catenlab in the next 1 to 3 years, right? Because you've gone past the days where nobody knows about Catenlab was an internal tool. We're in the trajectory of a hyper growth of the lab. It's just, you know, evidence of your attending so many events throughout the year. So where do you see yourself and the project in the next 1 to 3 years?
Speaking of me personally, I would try to invest more in the community building work and to really build more communities around Container Lab and helping other network operating groups, local and global, to embrace Container Lab and use it. So we'll probably start an initiative called Container Love.
Okay.
The name is fancy. So we will try to help Nogs to use Container Lab in their maybe workshops or sponsor their hardware to basically allow people working with Container Lab without network operating groups to spend money. So we would like to donate some cloud VMs for them to run. And that would be my kind of goal. I would like to build more sustainable community with Container Lab and making sure that people who can't really afford maybe compute of their own, that they get it. Maybe just for the workshops at the NOG, but maybe even for longer. So we are kind of currently discussing how we can make this contribution a reality. For Container Lab, I think the major improvements that we are started to look at is making Container Lab work on Kubernetes clusters.
Okay.
And mainly this is driven because we want to scale out of the single node, which is currently the deployment model of Container Lab.
Yeah.
And by leveraging Kubernetes, we can just go beyond just one node and create scale topologies for more sophisticated, more advanced network testing specifically. We are also getting a lot of questions around Container Lab and CI/CD. Like, people are raving about network testing, and the recent outages are, you know, prime example why testing is necessary and super critical.
Yeah.
So we would like to spend a lot of time on figuring out how we can position Container Lab in CI/CD, create a lot of examples with most wanted runners like Jenkins, GitHub Actions, GitLab runners, et cetera, to make sure that people have a playbook or a ready-made kind of workflow to get started with Container Lab and CI/CD. So that would be our second priority for the next year. And then, of course, like all the usual bug squashing and minor improvements, we constantly, I would say weekly, adding some niceties to Container Lab that will continue to happen.
So interesting. I mean, I think that that would be the day where we could spin up like a digital twin of your network, having a lot of validation pre and post maintenance. And they all run just virtually without you interfering. Or as a Jeremy Sherman would say, right? Like, you know, this is a design-based network testing, right? So like, you know, or documentation or anything that requires a change that you just have to design it and everything else follow through would just be automatic. And I see Container Lab being a huge part of that.
Yeah, hopefully we will be able to contribute to that initiative.
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, there's several topics that we could have gone on and talked a few hours for that, but we're running out of time and we continue to see the growth of Container Lab. Where can people find more information about you, the work that you do, Container Lab, or, you know, maybe on social media?
For Container Lab itself, go to containerlab.dev and that will open a Pandora's box for you for Container Lab. Lots of information there. You will definitely not feel alone for the next couple of days. You can follow me on Twitter at ntdvps and LinkedIn, Roman Dodin. I'm pretty active on Twitter. I would say like I have almost daily or every other day I have a tweet about networking technologies, and that's the only thing I tweet about. If you want to follow some network automation or Container Lab workflow, that's the place to get this info.
Nice. Yeah, so of course, we'll have all those links in the show notes. So once again, I really appreciate you taking the time, Roman. And I know you're a busy guy, but I think the listeners will really benefit from your knowledge and be interested in hearing your backgrounds. And so thank you again for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for listening to Network Automation Nerds podcast today. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other major podcast platforms. Until next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Network Automation Nerds. Do you have any feedbacks for Network Automation or this episode? Send me some follow-ups at packetpushers.net/FU. I want to hear from you. Check out our website at packetpushers.net to find other network engineering-focused podcasts, blogs, YouTube videos, and the Slack channel. Last but not least, remember that too much network automation will never be enough.